Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 27th. Joining us this morning, Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
We having fun?
Great time. Tuesday, fog's out. Love it.
Yes. All right. Let's see if we can find something here that gives you half a chance. All right. Olive branch. Why do we say or use the phrase olive branch?
So it's to indicate, you know, a gesture of peace, I think, right?
I don't know.
Isn't it the dove a symbol of peace? And back to biblical, the Noah's Ark, didn't the dove come with an olive branch? Maybe that would be part of it.
It may be a wonderful
it's a symbol,
day.
Symbol of peace, back to story of Noah's Ark.
Yeah, you're kind of touching around, but you're there. Egyptians began experimenting with a native shrub at least 4,000 years ago. Soon they produced varieties that yielded fine oil. As a result, the olive came into cultivation around the entire Mediterranean basin. In the biblical story of the Great Deluge, a freshly plucked olive branch was the first thing to give hope to Noah and his shipmates. Soon, this harbinger of good tidings was followed by a promise that the flood would never be repeated. As a result of that memorable incident, an olive branch became a symbol of peace and goodwill. Even in lands far too cold for the evergreen tree with edible fruit, the expression born in Egypt is almost universally understood.
Wow.
See?
Get like an 85% on that one?
Yeah, that
might
even
take it.
Get you past the resource review committees.
Maybe next time you can give me a harder one instead of the...
Oh, I see. And then you'll send Casey in next month.
Yeah, right.
So I'll try to forget it, huh?
We'll have you arrested.
Yeah. Oh, well, it seems as if the big story out of the valley right now is not the Apple Harvest Festival coming up, not that school's back in session, but that there's a little back and forth between PG&E and communities south of, I guess, what, Fields Landing?
Fortuna South, yeah.
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 What is going on?
Good question.
I bet you can answer this one properly, huh? 100%?
I can at least identify the question.
There you go.
No, we've had some concern about this for a little bit. And, you know, one of the first indications we had, there was an... Of course, we're talking about PG&E's assertion that, you know, its transmission lines are over capacity, its substations need upgrade, and that they have limited ability to provide new power from the communities of Fortuna, Riodel, South, Southern Humboldt. And so we kind of had an indication of what was happening. We installed some auxiliary battery systems that the city got a grant. We put some Tesla batteries on one of our booster pump stations, and PG&E indicated that they didn't have the ability to hook those up because of some inadequacies with their substation. So we were concerned.
So you couldn't do the plug-in in the wall like they have the new house guys required?
No.
Oh, interesting.
So that was late last year. And so we've kind of been wondering, you know.
Last year.
And we were wondering, you know, how come it's, you know, how, you know, what could it be? You know, we've never really experienced issues like this where we have, you know, service connection problems for a city project, and we've done a lot of them. And then we also have been working quite hard on the mill site. The city's working on a specific plan. There was a proposed package distribution facility that was wanted to locate there. And one of the things we heard from a contractor with land adjacent to the site was that PG&E denied their service to increase their capacity. I don't know what they have, a 200 or 400 amp service on a building to a 1600 amp service. And they said, sorry, no capacity. So we were very curious about the development potential of the mill site if, you know, one of the adjacent buildings, you know, couldn't see a panel upgrade. And so
yeah, that doesn't bode well for the
right. So
the footprint. Yeah.
So, you know, around the beginning of the year, springtime, we've been asking for a meeting with PG&E. Hey, what's going on here? We're concerned about this project. You know, the development of the mill site, we're putting a lot of effort into this. We're trying to create a plan. And what's the point if, you know, there's no power available? And one of the confusing things is that the developer of the package distribution facility, they had a will serve letter from PG&E.
What's that?
It basically, as a public utility, they have PG&E has a responsibility to provide service within the area that they have that utility.
Oh, so it's like they have a franchise and they have to provide within the franchise.
That's right.
Oh, that kind of makes sense.
It makes sense, right?
Almost properly labeled.
It's always been the case. Yeah. You know, it's always been
the case.
That's
what threw me.
Yeah. So we were very curious, you know, and they had a very aggressive timeline with that project, and we were concerned that, you know, maybe they were misled with this will serve letter. And so we pushed for a meeting, and then what is it? Actually, 2 weeks ago today, we finally got a meeting with PG&E after asking and asking and asking, and they briefed us on what they saw as the situation, which is transmission lines are undersized, substations need upgrades, it's going to cost $900 million, which is almost a billion, and somewhere between 7 and 10 years to be able to provide the capacity we need and start new service connections as normal.
7 to 10 years through the entire state or through Southern Humboldt
County, right? So Fortuna South, which is a huge number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that probably puts you back on your heels a little bit, huh?
Yeah. You know, there's so many things on so many levels. It's a threat to the city and really could put the city, you know, not just Fortuna, but the southern half of the county.
The region,
in really
yeah.
Bad shape. So we really, you know, just to finish kind of where this went, we really wanted to understand kind of what was happening and how do we get here, right? Like, how was everything fine? And then all of a sudden, you know, that's cool. It, we're done. You know, forget your electric car charger, forget your battery system,
yeah,
forget your commercial building.
As you were approaching, yeah.
Yeah, or just walk straight into a wall, however, right. You know, the cliff one is appropriate too. So, you know, and where do we go from here? One of our big questions was, you know.
So this information was shared with you 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. And so, you know.
After shuck and jive for 9 months?
Well, I don't think it was quite 9 months, but several months. Okay. And so the information was shared with us. And, you know, our big question is like, wait, why are you providing will serve letters if you can't provide the service? And
I would think there'd be a more fundamental.
Well, and they said, well, we can provide the service. It'll just take 9 years, which for us, it's, you know, or any developer who's going to invest, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in a project, even a small residential project now is hundreds of thousands. You know, what if people are permitting and building these things and putting all that money on the table and then they have to sit there and wait? So huge concern.
KINS, News and Information Time, 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. So, Merritt, kind of with a pushy from your end, you discovered that PG&E is, for whatever reason, trying to severely reduce opportunity. And yet, at the same time, we've got all these pressures for housing identified not only in Humboldt, but throughout the state. Where's the... My presumption was that the PUC kind of was the overriding overseer for Southern Cal Edison and PG&E. And they would be looking at things and hopefully with an educated eye.
Yeah.
And go, hey, guys, you know, something doesn't seem to be jiving here. And they would be at that level coming down into PG&E and having reports and sharing it with the governor and with the electeds. It's great that they're replacing some of these lines in the fires and some of the gas lines in the blow-ups, but we got some other issues here that they have to address as well.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in that oversight responsibility?
No, you're right. I mean, in my opinion, the threat to the community couldn't really be greater. I mean, if you think about you know, okay, it's hard enough to retain a business, let alone attract a new one, or even harder to attract a new business that can't build something and be provided power, right?
Yeah.
What about, you know, we have we have a lot of land available for housing in Fortuna, and we have builders who are doing subdivisions, they're doing multifamily projects, we're trying to meet the housing goals of the state. What, you know, we have a, you know, there's a developer who just did I think it's about a 70-unit apartment, a multifamily senior complex, and they have they're working on their entitlements, but they went through design review. But what happens if they go through this whole process, do their engineering and design, and start building it, and then there's no connection, right? So, you know, the threat couldn't be higher, in my opinion, if people stop investing and building and buying materials and providing jobs. You know, it could really...
Well, and more current also. I mean, you know, it's a today thing.
It's a today thing. And well, you know, so that was my first question of, you know, okay, I called the PUC. We have a representative that reaches out to us. And
Who's ours?
His name's Dr. Naveed Paydar.
Where's he from?
I believe Sacramento, but
also, it's not as tight as like the Coastal Commission.
No, we don't have somebody in Humboldt County. And so my question was, is this a reasonable thing for a utility to be able to do? And let me just, you know, I think the PG&E local staff, I don't think they're thrilled with the position they're in. I don't know what level the decision.
Oh, they're probably getting arrows in all directions.
Well, yeah. And I think we have a lot of local staff who wants to be responsive to projects. We have the government liaison who's been very communicative. I just think the answers are coming from somewhere else. And I don't think the problem originated with our local staff. I think there's larger decisions probably that are being made.
And just so folks aren't totally confused and drooling in the corner about this.
Yeah.
Is Eureka and Arcata and McKinleyville, with all those housing projects associated with Humboldt,
is that connected
to this or totally independent?
Not affected. There's an additional line that comes over with a higher voltage, and apparently the transmission mains are in good enough shape that...
And Fortuna's far enough away that...
What PG&E's indicated to us is it's Fortuna South, and that there isn't the same issue in the rest of the county north.
Okay, so you're dealing with this regional,
yeah,
in a relatively sparsely populated area. Is that part of this? Is because there's they don't see that there's that much demand, so let's go somewhere else instead of worrying about these guys out in the boonies.
That's one of the things we need to figure out. You know, I think we need to figure out how we got here. Why are we in this situation with no real advanced knowledge, right?
So what'd your buddy at the PUC, did he say anything or was he aware of it?
So, you know, and I'm going to butcher the terms. I don't know the process, but it sounds like typically when PG&E has projects they have to do for their infrastructure, that they do a rate application and they take the cost of those projects. They, you know, propose some type of rate that can accomplish those projects. And the PUC's main role has been to approve those rates and, you know, to understand the projects they're doing, understand the basis for their rates, and, you know, to approve rates that allow PG&E to make the investment in that infrastructure.
So that's how they fund it.
Yeah, but I've been specifically asking, well, you know, is 9 years a reasonable amount? What is PG&E's obligation as a being granted a public utility,
yeah,
a private
provider.
Company,
yeah.
What is their obligation as a public utility? Is 9 years reasonable? And I've asked for any documents that really, you know, or government code references that explain what PG&E's responsibility is. And I haven't been able to find anything yet. So I think that's going to be key.
It's not open to staff interpretation.
And I asked that question, and you know, the one example that came back was, well, the state constitution grants the Public Utilities Commission the right to oversee all of these things, whether it be reliable, safe, you know, the various, you know.
So the responsibility is to the PUC.
Yes.
To make that call.
Yes. And I don't know yet what, you know, where that line is of what's reasonable and what's not, and where those expectations for PG&E being granted a status as a public utility. I don't know where that is, but that's one thing I really want to understand.
I would think that there's a couple of things, not just one that you're looking
for.
Well,
how do we get here? What is the Public Utility Commission's role? And, you know, if this is unacceptable, then, you know, what are the requirements for being able to, as a public utility, providing power? You know, and as a
Well, how do you fast track what is needed to
right.
make this happen.
So the solution, I'd say one of the best things that happens, we have a very active supervisor in second district, Michelle Bushnell. And, you know, so when this came to our attention, we did a story, we brought it, you know, we were discussing it with Michelle, and we got it in touch with McGuire's office.
So we'll take it from there when we come back. Okay. It's 8:30.
Forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry, city manager in Fortuna. So with the ADUs that are being...
Are we going off the PG&E thing already, Ryan?
No. We're there. But that's, I think, something that a lot of folks are familiar seeing and feeling and discussions about. With the problems and the challenges with PG&E now and the PUC now, I would think that all that is in question as well. Is that...
True or not? It's interesting because there's a lot of state mandates, whether it be doing the reduction of greenhouse gases in the climate action plan, whether it be the creation of new housing, and there's
just all the stuff.
There's a lot of state mandates. So if we're at capacity, and we're having there's the big push is to electrify everything and remove gas. Right, gas is bad, electric's good, but what about some of these car charging stations that won't be able to be connected? What about the increase in panel size in homes from 100 amps to 200 amps? Like, is that going to put us over the edge? You know, how are we going to comply with some of those climate goals? How are we going to provide new housing?
Can you? With the PUC, with the our regional electeds, with the governor's office, are they looking at this and seeing that there's dominoes here? Or is it just kind of like those guys?
So Supervisor Bushnell gets it. Senator McGuire gets it. Assemblymember Wood gets it. They're on it. And I have to give credit, to McGuire. He pulled PG&E together with the different cities and representatives from the county to have a discussion about this. He had a very specific request of PG&E of, we want a plan and we want an understanding of the situation in 3 weeks, what the capacity is, how can people be served.
Wouldn't they be able to go tappity-tappity-tap on their laptop, pull it up, and say 23?
So one of the problems is I don't know PG&E, I don't know how accurately they're projecting the growth of the community. From the city side, hey, it's all in our general plan. We published it in 2010. It shows how fast the city's going to grow and where, and it's not...
So they've had 13 years to look at the silly thing.
Right. So... But what we're doing, and I actually have a meeting with PG&E at 10 o'clock this morning, we've projected what all of our loads are going to be over the next 5 years. And when I say loads, we're the number of units of housing,
the
amount of commercial development, all the projects that we have applied for and all the ones that we are guessing will exist within the next few years. So we're trying to get a stop. We want to be able to tell them what our needs are going to be in the short term. And we want to understand their ability to provide it. And the expectation is from McGuire's office that PG&E will have a plan within 3 weeks of our meeting last week.
Are you going generous? I mean, there's always different models, right? Minimal, probable, if things go wild and crazy.
I think we're trying to be real and not forget anything that's coming up. So, we're not trying to blow it up and over-exaggerate our use. We're trying to be realistic. But there's been a lot of development happening in the city. We have some really big projects like at the mill site that really could be in existence within the next year. Some areas around Strong Street Plaza that could develop within the next year.
Some active things.
For example, one of the things the city's done is we've partnered with the Chamber of Commerce to hire a retail recruitment consultant to try to bring businesses in. that create retail. So now there's a lot of interest in the area across from Strong Street Plaza, but without the ability to connect to power, again, no investor is going to come and permit
solar
and build something
do
and
this
let it
one.
Sit there.
No. You're going to put a big windmill in the back?
The microgrid would have to, you know, you'd cover half the site with solar panels. And that might be part of it for some things. You know, maybe for the city's wastewater upgrade, can we incorporate renewables to be able to offset? But
that's the owner. That's the developer. That's right. Not the utility pushing.
And
that.
It puts a direct cost right onto the project. So, yes, that could
by
be
by
part
that, you
of
mean
the,
a premium price on the project? Not yeah, a direct
yeah.
cost?
And, I mean, one of the things we're concerned about is we're going to significantly increase the size of the – we bought an older building that was Eureka Physical Therapy for use as a police facility.
Oh, yeah, so, down on the corner there?
Yeah, on the corner of Newburgh and Ronerville Road. And, you know, are we going to
have – it's not going to qualify as a community pool, is it?
No.
Okay.
Pool's gone.
Oh, is it filled
yeah,
in?
Not yet. It will be, though.
But
–
Okay.
Anyway, you know, we have just concerns. Like, you know, we have money that we've set aside. We've been working towards this goal for a long time, and we want to make sure there's no issues for our police facility. But so anyway, our hope is to be able to communicate what our needs are going to be in the short term with PG&E and then have a plan back and clearly understand what they can serve and what they can't. And that goes the same for the southern part of the county.
Right, everybody's doing
I know the
their,
planning department's yeah. working on that. Rio Dell's working on that. So we'll bring this to PG&E this week. And then I think the idea is that we'll have a plan that comes back from PG&E with a realistic assessment of the situation, where it can power be provided and where it can't. And then we may have a longer-term situation, you know, that we have to deal with. But how are we going to deal with that? How are we going to attract the regulatory oversight that's needed? How is that investment going to be made? Who's going to pay for it?
How do you avoid this in the future? Yeah.
You know,
it sounds like you're having to defend growth.
Well, in a sense, it's a building moratorium, right?
Yeah.
You know,
so. Well, not spoken quite that way, but I would think that, and again, maybe I'm out to lunch, PG&E as a provider of power would be looking to expand capacity so wherever anybody needs to have access to it, they're there.
I think they are, and that's their desire, but the question is, how do you get there? How do they make that investment? There's no doubt PG&E wants to sell power. That's why they exist, right?
Yeah. Well, at least in theory, that's why they're there.
Yeah. I think it's a question of how do you, you know, for a public utility, you know, privately owned public utility with government oversight, how do you make that investment and assure that you have that capacity for the planned growth of the community? That's the central question. And so what happened? How, you know, what failed? You know, in my opinion, it's been a failure. Right?
Somebody dropped the ball. Is there a way to know?
I think, is
there even just a continuum or a process of areas of responsibility? I mean, you would think that the PUC, that's where I keep kind of going back to, or maybe the governor's office of the people that are installed there that are giving the directives for staff. But
Or
was everybody just kind of taking a check and not paying any attention?
I don't know the answer. I wish I did.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to, you know, again, McGuire's leading, you know, demonstrating great leadership here. We're going to follow this process through. I hope we get to an acceptable solution, you know, with or a plan from PG&E. But that's going to be a big question coming out of this is, you know, what if, you know, whatever PG&E comes back and tells us doesn't satisfy the needs of the community in the next few years, right? Where do we go next? I don't know the answer, but again, you know, we want to work through McGuire's office at this point. He's kind of the top person who's really showing that leadership. And I think, you know, at some point that it may go to the governor level. I don't know. It's above my...
No, bull. No, it's not. It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. So, Merritt, right now, you're going to have your meeting with PG&E. Based on the outcome of that and with everybody's input and from the the soups also in the county. Then you wait for PG&E to come back in a couple of weeks to hit that 3-week deadline that you were shared about. And then at that point, you find out what's going on.
I think then we an understanding more precisely of where we're at rather than one big lumped in, we can't provide this for the whole area.
Well, let's look at your police station.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys aren't going to wait 3 weeks and just stall everybody out and have the contractor twiddle his thumbs for 3 weeks.
We plan to go out to bid in the next couple of weeks. So, you know,
let's put this 2 months down the road and
right.
You found it out. Okay, do you put a stop on everything, waiting? These guys are still needing to get their stuff done.
The city can't accept not being able to connect new homes and new businesses, period. It's unacceptable.
And the people that you're representing too.
Absolutely.
Not the jurisdiction, but everybody.
Yeah, it's just unacceptable where we're at. You know, so the question is, how are we going to fix this? You know, where exactly are we at? What's the situation? How much capacity is there where? Or I don't care how it comes.
How close were you to driving down to Sacramento and knocking on the door?
I would be ballistic. I think this is of the utmost importance to the city. I think the council recognizes the seriousness of it, and I don't think they'll stop till they get the answers and a solution's identified that has a reasonable timeline for continuing to provide service. We have too much that's gone into all of the development within the city, you know, all of the commitments for housing, all of the changeover. Like, it's just, I still can't accept the fact that it's just not something that's going to be accepted by the city. Continue to push until we get that service, and we can't see a limit on our growth right now. It's too important.
Is this a stockholder issue at PG&E? Is this a leadership issue at PG&E? I mean, they're the ones that are in this equation too. I mean, if somebody's operating properly, you don't need a PUC.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how we got here. I want to understand that. And then, you know, one of the other questions is it just Humboldt County?
Yeah, I would think Mendocino would have interest in what's going on.
Well, if it can happen here, and they've told us it's
where's more, Laytonville? I mean, are they in this pipeline?
Don't know. I don't think there's a development pressure on the smaller transmission lines probably there that there is here and in Southern Humboldt. But, you know, what about some of our other rural counties? Are they facing the same situation?
Well, Fort Bragg certainly is seeing development and work.
Yeah, and I don't know. It would take an understanding of the infrastructure, take an understanding of kind of the loads and the planned growth.
But PG&E would have a plan.
Yeah, but apparently it's most acute here, and there are other places in the state that should be concerned. So I think we need to solve this problem here, and we need to understand how we got here and how do we prevent this in other parts of the state.
What about the League of California Cities? Are they're aware. Monitoring this?
Yeah, I met with our rep, was it last week on Thursday? And they're aware of it, and so we're going to be looking to see what other avenues we can go. But again, right now we want to, you know, kind of work through McGuire's office and Assemblymember Wood's office. And
are they carrying a big stick on this? I mean, are they swinging? Do they want to hit 61?
The short answer is absolutely yes.
Okay.
I mean, so again, you know,
you're not going to get lost.
Senator McGuire, Assemblymember Wood, they know how important this is. And they've expressed that in the meeting. They're demanding very short timelines and answers. Again, I can't, you know, our supervisors, Supervisor Bone, Supervisor Bushnell, everybody gets how important this is. So
no quick answers, but timely answers, hopefully.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
To be continued. We'll see. I hope the next show we come back and
you're smiling more broadly.
Some definition. Yeah. Right now, it's hard to take.
Understood. Well, go forth and conquer. Have fun at 10.
Thanks, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.